want to share that we are continuing in Save the World. And as a result of that, I'm even speaking slower, I can tell. But as a result, we want to continue in what God wants us to do and in what God is doing. And everybody said, amen. I'd like to read this just for our recollection and always coming back to what's the very premise by which we are speaking about Save the World. So if you would follow along on the screens, that'd be great. John chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." And everybody said, amen. How many know that even in the very premise of that passage of scripture, it sets up within the human experience, or it sets up within the human dynamic, to think you're going to be judged? Is everybody with me? It already sets up this kind of distance between us, because we think if we're in the world and we have not accepted Jesus, that it feels like anybody that is about Jesus or about God is going to judge us. But we want to be quick to remind us, and now we even have verses in the Word of God, that Jesus did not come to judge us. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to what? To save us. Amen. I want to make this thought. It's worth your notice, worth your writing. Wherever Jesus comes, things change. That's a powerful statement. Wherever Jesus comes, things what? Even as an infant, when the Jesus came into the world began to catechismically change. We saw angels in heaven singing about it. When Jesus came to the world, even shepherds would go from night all the way just to find who this is, to see what all the commotion is about. When Jesus comes, he comes to a wedding, and the next thing you know, they're drinking more wine than they started with. Can somebody say amen? Amen. When Jesus comes, there is a change, and therefore when Jesus comes to our lives, things are going to change. Glory to God. Wherever Jesus comes, there's going to what? Change. Amen. So therefore, wherever Jesus comes, things will change. That's something to look forward to. That's something to be prepared for. That's something to think about. That's something to remind yourself of. There's something to remember that if I'm in a circumstance, things don't have to remain as they are. Things can change where Jesus is. Glory to God. Why submit to darkness when light has come? Jesus was teaching, preaching, and healing, and so do we. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35, Jesus went about the cities, towns, and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of sickness and diseases among the people. But when he saw the multitudes in the crowd, he was moved with compassion. What does this say here? Jesus was moved with compassion, and so do what? He was moved with compassion because they were confused, distressed, harassed, helpless, scattered, and weary like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37 says this: Then he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This slide says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Few. Therefore, pray, Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. Amen. So here's the thought. This is an action. This is an act upon. This is a read and do. This is a hear God's move. Pray and send out me into your harvest. Pray and send out who? Me. It's just going to be me and whoever that is. I think it's Ida. Okay. Pray and send out me into your harvest. I want to remind us. It doesn't matter where you are or how you've been doing. I want to remind us. We can start in the most simplicities of this. 1 hour of prayer a day. Say that with me. 1 hour of prayer a day. Now, if you're in 8 hours of prayer, then you've already fulfilled that. Amen. But for us that would like to have something to understand, this is not a law or rule. This is just to help us, give us something that, they say young adults need challenge. Well, here's a challenge. What about 1 hour of prayer a day? I do it in 5 minute segments. So in one of these things, the second one is 5 minutes of that. 1 hour should be in contemplative prayer. Should be in what? Contemplative prayer. Where we're sitting and listening what Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, the King, has to say about you. And how many of you know that Jesus only says what is good? Good for you, good about you, good to you. And here's the next, 20 minutes a week to share Jesus Christ. To share Jesus Christ, 20 minutes. 20 minutes. And the reason this is done this way is because this is such a practical thing, is that I know many of us don't have time to do it. And we think if we only had time, maybe I would share it. But I've got so much going on. So how about in 168 hours within a week, we reserve 20 minutes just to say, you know what, intentionally, I'm going to share Jesus with someone. Somebody say amen. Unsaved, unchurched, new to town. What we want to do is to give us a sense of inspiration about what God is doing. I have to make these fairly quick, but man, I could just spend the whole message on what good things God is doing in people's lives. I mean, it's like one of those moments where God wants to boast about his children and what he's doing through his children, because this is what God is doing in the world today. And I think it's so valuable and so important, because some of us, we even do it at staff, is that sometimes if you don't hear about what God is doing, you'll think only about the news that's coming in. That's a good word. Amen. But God is doing good things. God is doing good things. So listen to this. After last week's message, get this, after last week's message, I have permission for these particular things, but after last week's message, I want to share with you what one of our members sends in. Says, one of my devotions for the day. It says this, remember that joy is not dependent on your circumstances. This is literally what the devotional says. Somebody say amen. Some of the world's most miserable people are those whose circumstances seem the most enviable. People who reach the top of the ladder in career-wise are often surprised to find emptiness awaiting them. True joy is a byproduct of living in my presence. Therefore, you can experience it in palaces, in prisons, anywhere. Do not judge a day as devoid of joy just because it contains difficulties. Instead, concentrate on staying in communication with me. This is as God is talking. Many of the problems that clamor for the attention will resolve themselves. Other matters you must deal with, but I will help you with them. If you make problem solving secondary to the goal of living close to me, you can find joy even in your most difficult days. That's just a good word. You might want to write this down. I don't have it in the notes.
It comes out of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Listen to what the English Standard Version says. Verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines that produces of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will what? In the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Somebody say amen. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 27 says this. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. I just believe whenever you see her, you ought to give her a big shout to the Lord, because our Aunt Vanessa gave us that devotion. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and give you another one, because I don't know. I think you like hearing from others. So here it is. Share with this, and I'll tell you who it is at the end. You might figure out who it is as I read. Get this. This literally is what came in. I think it was on Monday, the next day. It says this. I have been writing a book about relationships, love, and brokenness. Into chapter 2, I began to develop mild depressive symptoms, increased irritability mostly. Then my husband and I began to, get this, bicker about minor nuances and quickly escalated into raised voices and stonewalling each other to the entire night. Next, I noticed irritability evolved into anger. Has anybody ever been there? It's okay, don't raise your hand. And then tearfulness for no apparent reason. I told my husband that I must be under attack or something, because of the content of what I am writing focuses on following ourselves to be broken for love. I informed him 24 hours after the onset of the attack. The very next morning, he awakened cheerfully, telling me he had a song in his heart. He tried to sing it to me, but I didn't recognize the song, and he had only heard it once or twice in his life. I mean, you know, that's God giving a song. Stay with that thought. The day progressed, and I missed praise and worship service because my son called me in a need. After the phone call, praise and worship had ended, and I listened to the powerful message as if it was once again in the pages of my writing, and jumped into our pastor. Yet I was numb, sad, disinterested. This was the day 3 of feeling oppressed. This was day what? Of feeling how? How many understand that's an affliction or an oppression or something that's really trying to get at you? My husband and I went for a walk, and while it lifted my spirit a little, I became tearful again and didn't know why. Outside of the dark feeling of sadness, my husband worked on our project and involved just between me and him. Throughout the day, he tried to sing the song to me, but just couldn't recognize it, and I was not interested in hearing him attempt to sing it. After a couple of hours, the darkness began to lift. Still a little sad, but not as intense as earlier. I watched a little TV and him before deciding to get ready to bed. All of a sudden, thank you, Lord. As I am about to leave the living room, I hear Hezekiah Walker's and was drawn to it immediately. To the praise song I was very familiar with, and I began to sing with Hezekiah and my husband, grabbing my hand and drumming and dancing in the spirit. How many know there was no church service? How many understand this was in their home? And it says, immediately I began to release emotions that had been gnawing away at my flesh and my soul. I beat the drum and danced until I was breathless, and then... It says, and then I danced and sang some more. How many know that means even though you might be tired or you thought you got a breakthrough, they kept going. It says, after about 4 songs, ending with a worship song on my knees, I can say that the praise defeated the enemy's attack. My husband and I had been given the resource for my pain. The resource for my pain. He had no idea that the song God put in his heart was meant for me to deliver me from the attack of the enemy. He was blessed to learn about spiritual warfare in the way to not have to know before I was blessed as a reminder that praise, singing, and dancing was the weapon used when the Israelites were heading into battle. I'm not talking about tapping your foot or singing under your breath and checking to make sure no one can see you. I am talking about heartfelt gratitude and praise resulting in dancing, shouting, playing instruments, singing, rejoicing, and raising the roof. As a mental health therapist who is born again, believer of Jesus Christ, I can say experientially that some emotional conditions are a result of a demonic oppression, not possession. And there is no pill for that. Spiritual oppression in an attack against your life is some way, and in the only power can be defeated is can cause it to flee in the name of Jesus and by our praise and thanksgiving unto God. Sister Monique Maldonado, come on, let's give God a big praise offering. Glory to Jesus. I believe some things need to be found applicable. How many understand that the word of the kingdom of God cannot just be in word, but it has to also be in power? Somebody say amen. Praise God. I wish I could give you some more, but I'll give some on another one. But I want you to catch this thought. Entering God's presence through praise. Entering God's what? Through what? And therefore, God's presence brings true joy. Right? God's presence brings true what? Amen. I want us to reflect on, I won't have us to do it right now, but what did this mean last week? The power of biblical joy is often tangled with and triggered to triumph over trials, troubles, and tests. We're talking about biblical joy, and it oftentimes is tied to and tangled with our triumph over the situations in our lives. Amen? So therefore, we must have joy. We must have joy. Today is Save the World Joy number 11. We want to talk about full of joy. We want to talk about what? Full of joy. Say that with me. Full of joy. Reflectively, I want us to remember these things. There's five truths about the full joy of the Lord. Would you read them with me? Read thematic thesis A. Ready, set, read. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, troubles, and tests. That comes out of James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Would you read with me thematic thesis B? Ready, set, read. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What is it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Would you read C? In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. I want to pause here for just a moment. I don't mind us going through this methodically. I don't mind us going through it one line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture, as long as it can get embedded and imprinted on the innermost part of our being so that we can live out of it. Because what's most important isn't even what we do in here, it's how we live out there. And therefore, how can we get this imprinted? These should not just be Christendom, little scriptures and verses we know, but they have to be actually lived and actualized. Glory to God. I want to live joy for all the days of my life. Glory to God. Read D. Ready, set, read. The closer Christ came to his cross, he spoke more about joy. The closer Christ came to his cross, he spoke more and more about what? Joy. And letter E, ready, set, read. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. I want us to please consider and rethink how the relevance of biblical joy
faces difficulty and is more than just an expression after a pleasure or a goal. Joy is not something that we do at the end. Joy is something that rises with us when we begin. Amen. So, I would like to just go ahead and use this passage. I wanted you to actually highlight it or re-highlight it, underline it, do something different in your Bible. But would you read this with me? Psalm 16, verse 11. Ready, set, read. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will, look at how many words there are about what will happen just in verse 11. First of all, God's going to show us the path of life. The second thing is that in his presence, in his what? I want you to get ready to take home the theme of today's message, even though it's encapsulated in everything that we're doing. It's in God's presence is fullness of joy. I'm going to say it again. It's in his presence. So should we go to try to solve a problem? No, we don't want to go solve a problem. We want to put our energy and our thoughts in meditation and getting into his what? Getting into his what? The first thing we want to do is to try and find ourselves either receiving a peace of mind, because you need a peace of mind to make decisions. And we ought to think about, how do I get into the presence of God? Because in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And if joy is my strength, then it's the strength to be able to apply what the peace of God has given me good decision in. Because how many know you can have the right thing to do, but you may not feel like you can fulfill it? Glory to God. So therefore, we want to find ourselves putting our energy and effort in the presence of God. And therefore, at your right hand are pleasures. Are what? Pleasures forevermore. Can I get you to take a look at this definition? Get this. So what is this fullness? What is this fullness or the full of joy? You see, in the Hebrew, this word there means satiety, I think is what, you know, they announced it on Google, or abundance or fullness. So the actual definition in the Hebrew, the soba word also has, you know, the word behind that is also very much so like it. But I want you to get what this fullness means. It means to satisfy, meaning as in the desire or of an appetite or to be full. It means to satisfy. It means to what? That means if we get in the fullness of God's joy, I won't be unsatisfied or dissatisfied. Glory to God. So I need to bring my amen and my treaching. Okay. So, therefore, if the Hebrew word means to satisfy, get this, it also means to supply someone with as much as or more. To supply, God has an interest on supplying me with joy that is so full that it would literally satisfy me. It would spill over as much or even more. It sounds like to me, God does not run out of wanting to give me the joy I need. Glory to God. Woo! And it means to fully satisfy. To what? Fully satisfy means enough satisfaction, watch this, to take the edge off. Glory to God. God wants us to have the type of joy enough to take the edge off. To take the what? Edge off. Glory to God. That's the type of fullness that we're talking about. So today we come with this cry. Today we come with this beckoning need. Fill me, Lord. We come with this desire. Come on, don't be distracted. You know what? The same people that I myself can oftentimes be distracted in whatever's going on in life. I know that there's phone call after phone call, text message after text message, that people are dealing with genuine disheartened situations, and we are not ignoring the plight that our lives may be dealing with. But in the middle of it, God always has an answer. Hallelujah. So God, fill me. Say, fill me. What? Fill me, Lord, with joy. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with the kingdom of God. Can you say those three? Fill me with joy. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the kingdom of God. I want this fullness. I need to be full. Glory to God. Some of you all don't even let your car go below 3/4 of a tank. How about not allowing our inner being to never go beyond 3/4 of a tank? I mean, even 1/4 of it, you know, empty. You know, how about us allowing God's presence, meaning I live, I'm aware, I am attentive, I'm not distracted, I'm not going to stay disheartened. I know disheartening might come because Jesus says in this world I will have trials and tribulations, but I don't have to be afraid, and neither do I have to stay in this place, because if I can just get to his presence, I know there is fullness of joy. My joy has the capacity to be full. He's going to satisfy my fullness. Glory to God. So here we are. We want to, Jude, maybe it did happen. Could you switch that, Jeff, if you would? So I want us to take a look at this scripture. Turn your Bibles to John 14. Take a look at John 14, please, if you will. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Would you just, I think I'm going to have to give the notes simultaneously. Won't take long. Listen, here's the part we want to remember is that we're starting from the premise of today being in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Therefore, we're talking about full of joy. But we want to remember we are studying Jesus on the way to the cross. We're studying Jesus on the way to the what? Therefore, we recognize chapter 12, right? John 12, last public ministry. Starting from 13, he's only ministering to the disciples. So he starts in chapter 13. He's in the upper room. So we get a peek in on the Last Supper, which John happens to record all three of Jesus' years and the Passover. So here we are now in the Passover in chapter 13. And Jesus is still ministering. Therefore, now we are in chapter 14. We are watching Jesus and what types of things is he saying to his disciples? What types of things? How many know the last thing you say to your children or to your people or to your, you know, your employees is the thing you want them to remember? It's the thing that you're going to leave them. So in John chapter 14, I'll read very swiftly. Check out what it says. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Look at verse 3, first point. "And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself." Look at what it says. "That where I am, there you may be also." Does everybody see that? I want to share with you this message, this part. I'm going to have you go to the next screen as well. And then you can leave it there for a little bit. Look at what happens in verse 3. In verse 3, it says this. Jesus wants to be with us. Jesus wants to be present. In verse 3, he says that where I am, you may be also. This gives us an indication of what is Jesus' joy and what is God wanting from us. God wants to be where you are. God wants us to be where he is. God is interested in being present with us. Have you ever been with somebody and they're not really with you? How many know somebody can be with you, especially depending on what age they are? They are far more in their phone than they are with you. I can't get any help up in here. Amen. All I'm trying to say is that Jesus, in verse 3 of John 14, he's telling them, you know what? Here comes a situation. You may not understand it right now, but I want you to be affirmed. I want you to be assured. I'm not going to leave you with a spirit of rejection or abandonment. I want to be where you are, and I want you to be where I am. I am interested in you, and I want you to know that we will be present together. God is not abandoning us. Keep verse 4. Glory to God. Verse 4 says, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What is Jesus making sure he knows? That we need to understand that this is our way, our truth, our life. We're following Jesus. Make no mistake, if you don't know a passage of scripture, when people start throwing at you all kinds of things about religion or, you know, there's multiple ways to God and all that, we've got to go straight to the scriptures and just help them to read it. Are you with me? Help them to read it. We're trying to disciple right now, right? So go to John 14, 6 and just say, you know, this is what Jesus, the Son of God, begotten of the Father, he says that no one comes to the Father except by who? By me, by him, right? Let's keep reading. Verse 7. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Let me stop here. The greatest part of any of these lessons is in us actually going to do them. Like, the greatest teaching will be when you're in front of somebody attempting to share this. Amen. I was talking to someone yesterday that's in law school, and they mentioned that the way Drake Law School is set up in this way, that most of the classes, you do the work, and nothing, one class especially, does no grading at all the whole entire semester. It's only graded at the final. You say, "Woo, huh?" 90% of the grade comes from the final. Are you with me? Let me tell you why. Because when you talk about law, how many understand what matters is what you know when you have to apply it? That's y'all got it right there. You see that? Verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said to him, let's jump to verse 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Greater works shall he do. So what greater works could we be talking about? Look at this, y'all. Save the world, teach, preach, heal the sick, raise the dead, right? Show love, call people into their purpose. These are the things that Jesus did, and he says, greater than these we would do. I'm going to run through this because I know you all know the scriptures. Listen, in verses 16 to 18, here it is. I want you to see this. This is the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He says that I'm going to send to you one just like myself. Therefore, this is the person. This is who? This is the what? The whole message is revolved around this one point of what Jesus is teaching us in John 14. He's saying, my presence is going to now be in you, and you are going to abide. I am going to abide in you forever. I am not going anywhere. You don't have to climb up into heaven. You don't have to come looking for me. The Holy Spirit, the presence of the person of God, is now living on the inside of us. Therefore, when we say that there's fullness of joy in his presence, thanks be to God, that ought to be continuously all the time. Why? Because his presence is forever with me. And if I tap into the eternal source of who the Holy Spirit, I'll never find myself not being just a word away from joy. For if I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth, I know that the joy of the Lord is mine. Glory to Jesus. So therefore, the person and presence of the Holy Spirit is now within us. You see, we need and can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need, and I don't, you know what? Let me go a little step further. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the laborers, which are few. We get the opportunity to be able to lead people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit right over that recipe for cookies. Hallelujah. Right after some particular meeting where somebody says, my wife did this to me, and you get to lead them right to Jesus at that very moment. When they step into your office and they say, can I close the door? I've got something to say to you. It's in that moment. You say, God, is this that moment? Let your fullness of joy flourish in me right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verses 26 to 27. You remember in verse 26, we show all three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 27, Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Jesus says what? My peace I give unto you. What does he say? My what? I want you to hear this. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, his presence. It's in his presence. There's fullness of joy, right? Now we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus who says, if I'm going to give you my peace as a gift. Y'all with me? So here we come. Jesus is coming closer to the cross. We're in chapter 14 right now. And he's saying, my kingdom is coming. He says, my kingdom is at hand. My kingdom is near. My kingdom, you can come, Peter. My kingdom is near. My kingdom is here. Jesus is saying, we are coming close to the inauguration of the kingdom being able to be manifested in the fullness on earth as it is in heaven. He says, here I am, and I want you to know that I'm going to go away. But when I go away, I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send to you what? The Holy? I'm going to send to you the person of God, and his presence will abide with you and be with you forever. I'm going to send to you my presence, and he's going to be in you. He's going to abide with you. He's going to be able to lead you. He's going to be able to guide you. He's going to be forever in you. You won't lose sight of him. He won't lose sight of you. Anything you have need of, he's in constant intercession with Jesus. And he himself will only speak that which he hears. He's only going to say what Jesus is saying. So here is the thought. Need your help. Next screen. So what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Do you see the value and importance of why joy is a core muscle? Because when it came time for the Holy Spirit to make things as simple as they could, that we would not have to debate, we would not have to be confused over Jesus' parables and his stories and the life he lived and the example he lived before us. This theological book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 17, spells out for me, those that need things in simple form, what is the kingdom of God? If I can get the understanding of these three, I will be able to abide in, live in, and have the kingdom of God fill me. Why is that? Because the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not in material things. It's not here. It's not there. It's not what breaks down over here or what builds up over there. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. And get this, joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God. No wonder Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Other translation says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Why? It's because it's about peace. That's what we said in January. Now, what are we saying in October? We're getting joy too. We want the kingdom of God to flourish in our lives because it's within us. Jesus goes to the cross, and the joy that was set before him was that I'm going to now inaugurate that the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. That man, human beings, have a right standing relationship with God. The righteousness is no longer by the law. It has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and now we just have faith in him, and I don't have to worry about the things I did, I didn't do, how I messed up, what I did wrong, how I got it out of order. Oh man, I broke that rule. I went against my own thoughts. I don't have to be worried about any of those things because now I have the kingdom, and the kingdom is righteousness. Glory to God. I want to share with you that it's peace of mind that is the kingdom of God. It's peace of mind. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. I know that in this life, people deal with distresses, messes, all kinds of things that could harass them, cause them to be wrong. Things that they don't feel like they good enough, worth enough, could be enough. People don't even think you enough. But I want you to know you've still got to be able to be stern and straight with your righteousness before Jesus and say, I've got a peace of mind. Why? Because of Thessalonians says, he's the God of peace. He's the Lord of peace. Therefore, the kingdom is about the peace of God. And then there's joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. I want to talk about how God does this. Say suddenly. Say immediately. Stand to your feet. I had a quick little reading I wanted to give you because it's better written. But many of us have been taught about the suddenlies of God. And I just want to share with you, you know what? If we're not careful as believers, we may find ourselves always believing that God comes in time. That he comes, I got to be patient for it. I've got to wait for it. If we're not careful because we don't, you know, we lose sight of the instantaneous power of God, we'll just think it's always, well, I got to hold on. I got to wait. It's after a while. It's by and by. I got to hope for it. But the word of God tells us, do you know the Bible says 87 times the word suddenly? Say suddenly. I want you to know that even when we look at like Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were all gathered on one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. The Bible says that Mary, there came a Gabriel suddenly to give her a message about the birth of this child miraculously. There's a suddenly and instantaneously and immediately that ought to break out in our lives sometimes. Glory to Jesus. The other day, Friday, I had done a lot of things, got a lot of things accomplished. I was so grateful and thankful to God, but I was being a little weary maybe, and by this time, I got my priorities out of order, and I was like, should I pray now, God, or should I do this and call this friend, or, you know, try to have some social time, or God, what should I do? And you know what? Things got out of order, and after it was over, I was wearing it a little bit. Are you with me? And so I ran, and I jumped in the shower and began to shower, and I began, like I started getting ready for that big, you know, have to crawl back to God, and, oh, God, I'm sorry. How many of you know 4 seconds? 4 seconds. 4 seconds. I said to God, God, I wanted you to know. And he just breathed on me suddenly. He breathed on me immediately. I was forgiven. I was empowered. I knew me and him was well. I knew that he had given me a word. I knew that it was suddenly. It was instantly. Do you know that Psalms 46 says at the second to last verse, we always say, be still and know that I am God. Do you know the New American Standard Bible says this? Cease from striving. Cease from striving. May you give us a suddenly, God. God, We want to learn how to rejoice immediately. I don't want to wait till it feels good. I'm going to feel it before it's good. I'm going to choose to have the joy of the Lord, because in your presence there is fullness of joy. And your joy is full in me right now. Not when it's going to wait later, but God, you are abiding in me as I abide in you. I am attentive and awakened to your Holy Spirit. Your word says in John 14 that the Father and Jesus the Son would come and make their abode, their residence within me. God, I am a mobile unit for God. Wherever I go, God, you're there. So therefore, there's nothing I come into contact with has able to overtake me, but your joy is my strength. And in the fullness of your joy, I will be satisfied. I will be able to know that everything works together for me. Why? Because of your love for me, God. And I love you and your purposes. So therefore, God, it's today I choose your joy.